Even without the specter of volcanic ash, air travelers to London's Heathrow experienced the most delays of any major European airport. For that, Doug Lansky has given it what he calls a Titanic Award. He also bestows quite a few others: scariest airport, rudest flight attendants, and narrowest seat. Air travel is not his only target. He takes on souvenirs, hotels, and restaurants in his new book, The Titanic Awards. When we spoke earlier this week, Lansky explained why he wanted to celebrate the worst of travel.
The narrative in the travel industry largely is this narrative of escapism, that you're supposed to go and have this incredible holiday and you're supposed to kind of discover yourself and lay on the beach and drink coconut milk and all these, you know, lovely things. And a lot of the people who are gathering this information are getting VIP treatment, the travel writers, and the travel industry itself is getting bolstered by the travel industry. I mean, all these ads in there are for these resorts and for these airlines. And so I kept having chunks of my story, which I thought were the most interesting bits, where things went wrong, cut out for lack of space, or and that sort of all reinforced this narrative. And if we're with a bunch of travel writers sitting in a bar, the stories we swap are the things that went wrong. These little juicy nuggets of when you were trapped in this island and the ferries stopped working, or this toilet from hell, or all these kinds of things. These were the stories we wanted to share. And I thought, like, why doesn't this stuff make it into print more often?
And so you decided to do it for us. Tell the story. Now, this is not many people would ever have the chance to go to China and fly on Shandong Airlines. But you tell a story about what happened to passengers on that 20-ton plane.
Well, it seems what had happened was when the plane landed and they were taxiing to the airport, the airplane died somehow on the way there. It managed to land, but it couldn't get all the way to the airport. So they brought the airport personnel out and the aircraft crew to help push this 20-ton plane to the gate. And they couldn't quite get it there. So they actually went over the PA system and invited the passengers to come out and give it a push as well.
And they did, huh?
And they did.
Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about hotels. I love it that one of your categories is ugliest hotel.
There we had a winner, I believe, in North Korea. It's so ugly, they've actually airbrushed it out of a number of the postcards of the city.
You're kidding.
It's sort of like this phallic-looking pyramid thing. And it's absolutely huge. It's like over 100 stories tall, and it's just the biggest eyesore I've ever seen.
It looks like one of those rocket ships from a bad 60s sci-fi movie.
It does have a little Flash Gordon going.
It does. What's the criteria? Is that did you set out with a list?
For a lot of these things, what you've got is some, you know, crazy stories on the hotel side or bizarre photos. And then you've got the survey issues. And then you've got some of these things are like the repeat offenders, especially in the airline industry, like which airlines consistently lose the most luggage or kill the most pets. It's bizarre that way. And or like which flights are consistently the most delayed. As it turns out, there's some serious repeat offenders. And then the other thing that I found going through this is that a lot of the same gripes kind of seem to focus, you know, sort of come to the surface all the time from these service industry things, like hotels that will charge you $5 to bring a fax to your room, or they'll charge you $20 or $30 for a breakfast that you have to pay for because there's nothing else in the vicinity. There's no place you can hop out and get another bite to eat in the morning. It seemed like travel with all these repeat offenders needed something between kind of a shot across the bow and also sort of a way to pull out some of these entertaining nuggets that seem to get lost in the travel industry's narrative.
I'm kind of surprised to see that the United States won the gold medal in worst souvenirs.
I was surprised by that as well, actually. That was one of the most surprising survey results. I don't know what they were expecting to buy here. Maybe it's that they can buy all the American stuff in their own countries. Or maybe they got here and they realized it was all made in China. And so
right.
I'm not sure what the disappointment was.
How many cheap keychains and magnets can you buy, really, right?
Exactly.
But they sell them everywhere. Everywhere you go, you can buy a cheap magnet and a keychain.
You know, in one of these bizarre turn of events, when I was going to Epcot a couple years back, I realized that it's sort of like the Epcot wasn't so much emulating these other parts of the world. It's the world that's trying to sort of take a page out of Disney's playbook. And they're all sort of, you know, creating these same souvenirs. They've kind of looked at how they have people wait in line. They're making their toilets, you know, like in China, they're trying to shape up their toilets so that they're sort of reach a international level of tourist quality. And it really seems like so many of the world's tourist attractions are sort of trying to go after this Epcot model.
Yeah. It sounds to me that you're saying one of the best things that a traveler can do is prepare, prepare, prepare. I mean, learn about the area you're going, research your airlines, research everything that you're going to need. Okay, so you do that and you go on vacation and something really stupidly horrible happens to you. How can a traveler best cope with that horrible experience?
I think the very best thing you can do is just have a mindset and be open to it. Say, you know, stuff's going to go wrong. There's not going to be a perfect trip here. And we just kind of got to roll with it. Mm-hmm. And it's those travelers who can kind of try to find that situation. Like when your bus breaks down in a small town and it forces you to spend the night there, that's actually a place that's not going to get a lot of tourists, and it's easy to meet the locals. There's almost always those things that seem to go wrong are the most memorable. And at the very, very least, if you've had to have suffered through this thing, you'll at least get a good bar story out of it.
Doug Lansky is the author of The Titanic Awards, Celebrating the Worst of Travel, and he joined us from Stockholm, Sweden. Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure.
You can find out who won Titanic Awards for Worst Flight, Most Confusing Airport, and Least Experienced Pilot in an excerpt from the book at our website, npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.